So as you might have noticed in the children's sermon, or at least guessed, buckle in, folks. We got two halves coming together in Scripture today. We've got the baptism of Jesus, which is the shortest in the Gospel of Luke, which is the longest Gospel, funnily enough. And that's always good to think of. But we're also in for some of the tough stuff that Luke pairs with it. Not stuff as in spiritually difficult, just tough to get through. The genealogies, the begats. Buckle in. Notice when you start to drift. You will likely start to drift. I often start to drift. But these words are here for a reason. So let's try. I believe in you. God is with us. Scripture comes from Luke 3, 15 to 17, and 21 to 38. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them, saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his work. He was the son, as was thought, of Joseph, son of Heli, son of Mathat, son of Levi, son of Melchi, son of Janai, son of Joseph, son of Matthias, son of Amos, son of Nahum, son of Esli, son of Negai, son of Maath, son of Matthias, son of Semein, son of Joseph, son of Joda, son of Joanan, son of Resa, son of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, son of Neri, son of Melchi, son of Adi, son of Kosam, son of Elmadam, son of son of Joshua, son of Eleazar, son of Jerim, son of Mathat, son of Levi, son of Simeon, son of Judah, son of Joseph, son of Jonam, son of Eliakim, son of Malaya, son of Mena, son of Matatha, son of Nathan, son of David, son of Jesse, son of Obed, son of Boaz, son of Sala, son of Nashon, son of Aminadab, son of Admin, son of Arni, son of Hezron, son of Perez, son of Judah, son of Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham, son of Terah, son of Nahor, son of Serug, son of Reu, son of Peleg, son of Eber, son of Shelah, son of Canaan, son of Arphaxad, son of Shem, son of Noah, son of Lamech, son of Methuselah, son of Enoch, son of Jared, son of Mahaliel, son of Canaan, son of Enos, son of Seth, son of Adam, son of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And few. Jesus emerges dripping. He is in the throng of other baptizans, a lot of people who have sought out and received baptism, some kind of new beginning and transformation. And he looks like any one of them. some 30-ish guy, old enough to have seen some of life. And as he comes up out of the water, the heavens open, and a vision, bodily, Luke says, tangibly, the Holy Spirit descending from the split heavens, and a voice, "This is my Son." A moment of felt presence of the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right there, united. Many have been baptized by John. Not many have had the heavens split open. Something new is happening on the earth. A figure among these many people is no longer just the same as any of them. Here starts Jesus' ministry. And so, Luke says, time for a long list of names. The genealogies are the boring part, no question. I know people who have memorized this whole list, and it was always confusing to me. Like, wouldn't your time be better spent memorizing any other part of the Bible? Even the worst psalm, the most upsetting prophet, the most confusing verse of Paul's letters, wouldn't that have more of a chance of being spiritually uplifting? I envisioned them sitting beside someone in great strife and reaching for the words of God to speak in crisis and putting one hand on their crying friend's shoulder and saying, "Melki, son of Adi, son of Kosam." But then that raises the question of why Luke put it in. Every gospel had to pick and choose, and Luke left things out, miracles, teachings, to put this here. I've known a number of people who've gotten into genealogy. They trace lines of people back, but the lines multiply, they split, and so they have to pick and choose because two parents becomes four grandparents, becomes eight great-grandparents, 16, etc. I'm not going to go through multiplication tables for you. But it reaches hundreds and thousands quickly, and you reach the places where stuff stops being written. So you find a few of the major names, a few out of such a large group of people that it might not really tell you much about yourself. And I know people who have gotten really interested in things the other way, sent in a cheek swab, seen what they've inherited from all their ancestors at once, the trace amounts of thousands of people in you. You can get big trends. But it won't give you names or stories. It won't tell you the customs or culture that came down. Just a sense of a genetic cloud. And whether you're looking at a cloud or a thread, you come away with a sense of just how much more you do not know, knowing part of it. All those people who to you are maybe just names or nucleotide markers. And you do have a sweeping sense of how, in ways known and unknown, history has shaped you. You do not know everything about how your forebears lived, but their lives still influenced yours, still brought you here. Luke does not really need a genealogy to tell the story of the gospel. We know this because two of the gospels get along just fine without a genealogy. And even Luke, when he was telling the story of the birth, it was enough for him then to say that Jesus is from the line of David, which is about the level of ancestral research Mark and John made do with for the whole way. It's really enough. If you don't believe that, it's not as though a long list of names you've never heard will convince you. And though Matthew's gospel has the genealogy, it's at the beginning with the actual birth. Maybe not a lapel-grabbing opener, but you get the notion, God working in history, leading up to Jesus. If you're going to have a genealogy, that seems like the place to put it. Luke had announced at the beginning of his gospel that he's consulted many sources and he's putting together an orderly account. And it seems like Luke's idea of orderly is to tell the story of Jesus right until new things are getting really going and then pause for a long list about the past. And there's really not much explanation as to why. Matthew's motives are a lot clearer. He says the structure he sees in the whole thing. He's talking about the shape of God's work in history. He has some comments. He even goes beyond the bare bones inclusion of people, making sure to note four women who did things their own way, and some who weren't even Israelites, God working in unexpected places. You can see that in Matthew. Luke, none of that. Just a list of names. No comment on any of those names, no matter how important and unexpected. You only get as much story as you already have attached to the names in your head. I'm guessing many here have at least some. When they hear David, Abraham, Noah, some who have done a little more intensive reading might recognize Boaz as the man who married Ruth in the book Ruth. Or know Zerubbabel from the Israelites' return from exile in Ezra and Nehemiah. And the really intensive Bible students among you might recognize Maath and Semein. Just kidding. No one knows who they are. Even the best-read Bible scholars in the world have no idea who those people are. No information. You open a commentary and it's like, that's just a name that we have here. King David, son of Jesse, has many books of the Bible to tell his story. Esli, son of Nagai, has zero books about him that we know of. But on this list, they take up exactly the same space. We hear how this list is haunted by the stories we know, the echoes of Abraham and Noah in our minds, and we do not hear the way this list is haunted by so many stories we cannot know. Stories we will not hear in this life. And in this list, what matters is the thing they all share. They are part of that one thread of history, from the beginning of recorded history to the last of those begats. The guy who the heavens split open to announce. A swab of the cheek can give you a little piece of history where your ancestors lived. And a line of ancestry can give you some names until you lose the thread. But ultimately, whether you're looking at clouds of people or at lines, they all converge in a web of threads which God has not lost. If you zoom out far enough, all of humanity is literally one big family. With the same blood. Thousandth cousins, maybe, but still cousins. If you go outside the doors of this building and walk along the graves of the cemetery, perhaps on a warmer day, you will see many names from the last 200 years or so that people built here. You'll see some who have been very dear, whose joys and sorrows you have known well. You will see some who you know glancingly, acquaintances. And you will see many, many more who in your living years will be only names and dates. Yet you share immeasurably much with them, sin and pain, joy and love, the common lot of all humanity stretching back to the first human eyes and ears which saw God's good and fallen world. So Luke makes a similar kind of list. All those names on the list here, and all those names outside it, and all those names which have never been written down and been humanly forgotten, all are united as part of one old creation, The good creation of God still, though worn by years and sin, you have at least this in common with all people. All this is Jesus' heritage too. And because of that, maybe something else. Maybe you also have the thing which made the heavens split. Now a new creation, hovering over new waters. We are no longer just distant thousandth cousins, but brothers, sisters, siblings, children of one heavenly parentage given by Christ. Even with many whose stories we will never hear, even those who now look to us only like a list of names, united in one church, one family born not just of a long human lineage, but from above, born of water and spirit. Amen.